Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to Kudzu Killers, Homicide and Sweet Tea. Hey, Kim.
Hey.
Are you feeling spring yet? It's one day until it's officially spring. I can't believe it. It was only ice storm 2 weeks ago.
I am going to Home Depot this afternoon to pick me up some maters and some peppers. So, yay.
Maters. Well, I'm afraid that Jody's favorite, beloved hibiscus has bit the dust, even though our little twig of a fig hung in there. She's a tough little fig. Anyway, so yeah, maybe Home Depot's in our future too. Maybe Home Depot's in our future for a sponsor. Woohoo! Actually, they are. So thank you very much. Anyway, so I want to start off this Forensic Friday with a question. What do y'all think of a firing squad for a method of execution? Kim, you have any thoughts, or you can save them?
A bullet costs a lot less than electricity.
Well, there's a bunch of reasons for this, and let me go into that. So, execution by firing squad in the past, sometimes called fusillading, from the French word fusil, which means rifle, is a method of capital punishment, particularly common in the military and in times of war. Execution by shooting is a fairly old practice. Some reasons for its use are that firearms are usually readily available, and a gunshot to a vital organ, such as the brain or your heart, as often will kill you relatively quickly, not to mention Kim's reasons. So the last time a firing squad was used in the United States was in 2010, when Ronnie Lee Gardner was executed in Utah for the 1984 murder of an attorney during a failed courthouse escape. Now, if y'all do the math, think how long he was on death row, right? Now, this is where it gets interesting. So Tuesday, a couple weeks ago, March the 2nd, 2021, South Carolina senators added a firing squad to the electric chair as alternatives if the state can't execute condemned inmates by the way of lethal injection. The Senate then approved the bill on a key 32-11 vote, which I kind of like, with several Democrats joining Republicans in the proposal, which would allow South Carolina to restart executions after nearly 10 years. Now, there's a reason for that. Under current law, inmates have a choice between lethal injection and death by electrocution. If the inmate chooses lethal injection, the state cannot force them to die by means of electrocution. So by default, the inmate's execution gets pushed back until the state can obtain the necessary drugs. Since the drugs are not available and haven't been for a while, they pick the method that can't be done now, wouldn't you? Right?
Well, of course. That would only be smart of them.
Well, of course. The South Carolina is just one of 9 states that maintains an electrature. It now becomes the 4th state to allow a firing squad, with Utah, Oklahoma, and Mississippi, according to the Death Penalty Information Center, which I find very interesting. It's a very interesting site if y'all want to check the Death Penalty Information Center. Meanwhile, South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster asked for lawmakers to give him any way he could to restart executions, since a few inmates have exhausted their appeals, but their death sentences can't be carried out. A Republican and a Democrat, both former prosecutors, proposed adding the firing squad. State Senator Dick Harpootlian, I love that name, Dick Harpootlian, said that the death penalty is going to stay the law here for a while. If it's going to remain, we ought to be humane. He continued to say hanging is brutal and often leads to decapitation, and in electrocution, the condemned are burned to death. Justice Sonia Sotomayor argued in Arthur versus Dunn in 2017, quote, in addition to being near instant, death by shooting may also be comparatively painless, and historically, the firing squad has yielded significantly fewer botched executions. Remember all those stories we talked about way back in some of our earlier stories, Kim, about how the executions would be botched, and both with electrocution as well as the lethal injection, because they really didn't have anybody that knew what they were doing.
Yeah, I believe that episode was called The Executioner's Song. It's a Forensic Friday episode, if anybody wants to go back and listen to it.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, not just because I did it, but because it does take it from a perspective of the executioner and how he really got yanked into something he never had intended to be. And it's kind of a psychological point of view. So anyway, so if bringing a firing squad isn't interesting enough, all this got me to thinking about hoods and blindfolds, because that's how my mind works, right? And how we always see in movies or history books how some of the condemned prisoners have hoods at their executions or offer blindfolds, right? Y'all remember that. I know you've all seen this. So why do they do that, you may ask? And here's why. With the electric chair, for example, the hood hides the facial expressions from those who are witnessing the execution. A person's face can contort, discolor, bleed, swell, grimace, salivate, vomit, and show other unpleasant responses, no matter how quickly that death comes. Being electrocuted can also cause the body to swell so much so that the eyeballs pop out of your head. The sudden extreme temperature in the body can also cause the eyeballs to melt. I'm thinking of, was it Raiders of the Lost Ark? Remember when they melt?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why prisoners often have their eyes taped shut before they're executed. Not that I think that would matter, because wouldn't you think a tape would melt? But whatever. But even further back, before the electric chair, people have been blindfolded or hooded, and even the executioner may have been hooded. Normally, he was, if you think about that, too. The custom of blindfolding the victim before execution is nearly universal, but not really for the reasons you might think. The custom of blindfolding was to protect the executioner. The blindfold was one strategy to protect the executioners and the onlookers from the supernatural revenge of those executed. I find this very interesting. In most modern religions, which you can reduce and take down to superstitions, I'm not saying religions are, but many religions have elements of superstition. There is a primordial fear of the dead. And because it's believed that the dead, or rather their souls being immortal, are able to take their revenge on the living in many unpleasant ways. The most dangerous are the souls of those who die a premature or a violent death, including death by execution, as they are reasonably believed to have the strongest reasons to seek revenge, right? This makes the executioners particularly vulnerable and makes sense for them to blindfold the victim and prevent the soul from identifying the individual responsible for the death.
I don't like calling them victims, though. They're really not victims. They are getting their what they deserve for being murderers, you know?
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about very, very historically. A lot of people were killed just for the, you know, they were killed for being on the wrong side of the track or whatever. But yes, I know what you're saying. I agree with you there. So anyway, the eyes are especially important in this context, as it was universally believed that the seat of the soul was in the eyes. Again, another strategy was for the executioner. This is like, I think, a double whammy, double protection layer here. The executioner wore a mask so to avoid recognition. So I don't want the condemned seeing me, but I don't want anybody else seeing me either. So the classical executioner's costume in the past that I'm sure y'all can also conjure in your head is where he's got a hood and he's fully covered his face. The executioners had more earthly reasons to hide, again, like we were saying, because mostly they feared revenge from the condemned's relatives and followers. Their disguise also protected them from the social stigma attached to the job at hand. And as we were referring to our other episode, the executioner song, yeah, he told no one, including his wife, that he was an executioner. He hid that secret from his family and friends because of the stigma for, I think, what was like 40 plus years or something. But anyway, so back to our regular executioners. So as for the person facing execution, the blindfold does really little to help. It actually causes spatial disorientation and may increase the fear of a suddenly invisible danger. Now, from the executioner's point of view, primarily, the blindfold helps prevent the condemned from flinching. By not seeing the squad, the individual is less likely to move suddenly. And this is important, as accurate shots to the heart are important in assuring a quick and relatively painless death. And sort of to this fact, the Nazis would recommend that the person being executed would face away from the shooter or shooters, as they found the soldiers were losing their morale, killing people over and over while looking them in the eye. Can you imagine? So facing away helped improve their productivity, so to speak, and turn the soldier into a more capable killing machine. They also do comment on when there is a firing squad that there is usually only one person that has a left out bullet. So there is still an idea in each man on the squad that possibly he had nothing to do with it. So there's a lot of psychology going on here. So regarding how the idea of painless, John W. Deering allowed an electrocardiogram recording of the effect of gunshot wounds on his heart during his 1938 execution by firing squad. I find that kind of forward thinking and interesting. And afterwards, his body was donated to the University of Utah School of Medicine at his request. Crazy, huh? So y'all may all know by now how Kim and I feel about the death penalty, and I feel that those who lean towards the death penalty want to see justice. Now, Wikipedia defines justice as, in its broadest sense, is the principle that people receive that which they deserve, with the interpretation of what then constitutes deserving being impacted upon numerous fields, with many differing viewpoints and perspectives, including the concepts of moral correctness based on ethics, rationality, law, religion, equity, and fairness. At its core, I see it as a very primal urge that vengeance and justice go hand in hand. So much goes into the process of death and our emotions connected to it. From the murder itself to crying out for justice to the point of fulfillment of the sentence, whatever it may be. I totally agree with Kim's fiscal reasonings that it costs more to house the prisoner on death row, and then also the obvious reasons of what if the person was wrongly convicted. This brings us back to a whole concept of justice. Do you want to see the lights go out of the condemned's eyes, or would you rather just be a little detached? I don't know how I would feel, Kim. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I'm not a death penalty proponent, so I mean, if you're going to execute somebody, the quicker way is the best way. The one that puts them out fastest is, you know, by far the best way. And as we know, sometimes lethal injection and electrocution don't work right away. We've had instances where it took 20 to 30 minutes to electrocute someone to death. And to me, that's cruel and unusual punishment. So, you know, the only problem with putting everybody in life without parole is building more prisons. But yeah, I just really don't think I could, like I've said before, give someone the death penalty. I'd rather they spent the rest of their days in a small cell just thinking about what they did and how they wouldn't be there if they hadn't done it.
Yeah, but I agree with you. I do agree with you on the financial side, but from an emotional side, I want justice. You know, maybe I'm more by nature. I think I'm more vengeful because I'm a Scorpio. Sorry, but it's just true. And so, yeah, I would want to go. I would go and watch.
I might feel completely different if I had a family member who was murdered and that was their murderer. I don't know, because that mm-hmm. hasn't happened to me.
Right.
I don't know how I would feel, you know, so.
Right, right. I'm sure there's a lot of conflicted feelings, a lot of conflicted emotions and everything. But like I say, as I started down this road, it was more about them bringing the firing squads back because of just getting through it, you know, getting through the death penalty and finally delivering their sentence, which, you know, obviously they've been sidestepping it. I mean, who wouldn't if you were the prisoner? So that's when I started to think about, well, you know, would you really go and watch this? And what about the people that were really having to face to face this? I mean, there's so much to taking someone's life. I mean, I couldn't put down an animal without looking at it and taking away that the eyes. It really comes down to looking into the soul, which I feel is the eyes. But anyway, that's my little bit of interest here.
Well, I do think it's interesting. It's actually probably a lot less expensive. I don't know if it is or not. That I'm just guessing that it's less expensive than lethal injection.
I don't think it's actually the process that is this that may or may not be noteworthy for expense. I think the expense is where you said before, is how long do they stay on death row? How long can they appeal? How many times do they go through this around and around and cost the taxpayers money, 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 you know?
Well, that's what I was getting to.
I totally agree with you there. So there's really like, you know, which is really cheaper.
The execution itself is actually such a tiny amount of money.
Right.
And I hate to bring it down to money, because it's not. It's human lives. And it's, you know, this may be an awful, horrible person, but do we have the right to take their life? Because I don't want to be political or anything like that. My question is, do we have the right to take someone's life, or should we leave that up to a higher power? You know, if you believe in a higher power.
I do believe in a higher power. I also think I'm probably a whole lot less elevated than most people want to hope. And I would like to see someone be given the equally what they did to someone else.
That's why this has been such a hot debate for decades, because nobody really can agree on it, because it's such a difficult and sensitive and emotional subject.
Right. Well, that's what I was saying before. I feel like it's a very primal thing. You know, we want vengeance. We want justice. And what justice is to us is, you took from me, I'm taking from you. That's so very basic. Not that it means it's right or wrong. It just is how many people still feel.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. I don't think they deserve something. And, you know, justice to me would be them getting exactly what they give. Those who torture, those who rape, those who molest children should get back in kind.
Right, right.
In my idea, I don't mean not executing them should mean they just have a happy life.
We know, I think we all know what you mean. And it is a hard decision in the big picture. It is. I mean, yeah. Some people are real black and white, and other people are very gray. And I think at the end of the day, most people are very gray. And that's why there hasn't been a definite decision made on this, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so if y'all want to let us know what you think, I mean, we're loving to hear from you about any old subject. And Kim has set up the most wonderful site for us. It's kudzukillers.com, where you can leave us thoughts and comments and anything you want to. And also, don't forget to catch us on our Tuesdays, where we have a longer episode with another great stories for you. And then on our sister show, Two Chicks and a Crucifix, which is much more fun and lighthearted, because we like to laugh too. We like to make y'all laugh. And I think Kim might want to tell you about our newsletter.
Oh yeah, we got a new newsletter coming out in a couple of weeks. And it's going to be a monthly newsletter. So if you'd like to sign up for that, you can go to kudzukillers.com. It's right there on the front page of our website, and you can sign up to be on our email list to get our newsletter. That's all we're going to use your email for. We're not going to solicit things. We're not going to sell your email. We're not like that. We would hate that if someone did that to us, so we're not going to do that. We're simply going to send you a once-a-month newsletter, maybe even once every 2 months, depending on how productive we are. You know, that's all that email is going to be used for. So if you'd like to know what's coming up on our show, if you'd like to know a little bit about us and what we're up to, and maybe some fellow podcasters who have some great shows out there, sign up for our newsletter and we'll send it to you once a month and you can see what's up with Kudzu Killers.
Oh, and there's another thing that Kim wants to tell you about having iced tea with us, right?
Yeah, I guess so. You can tell it. You can also, if you go to that website, you can go to a website, buy us a coffee, and you can, if you want to, you know, assist in getting Lark some new headphones, or if you want to.
Lark totally needs new headphones. She's got her tin cup out, y'all.
If you want to, you know, become a part of our production staff, basically, by giving us a couple bucks here and there. It does cost us to put the show out there. We're happy to do it. We love doing it. But, you know, buy us an iced tea once in a while, or it's not an obligatory thing. You can just do it whenever you feel like it, if you feel like it. So that's buymeacoffee.com/kudzukillerspod. Or like I said, you can go to our website and click on the link right there on the front page.
Yep. So it's Lark Shameless. Buy me an iced tea. Buy me an iced tea.
Buy me headphones.
Buy me headphones. Well, anyway, until we hear from y'all, and until we see you on Monday and Tuesday, y'all don't bury the bodies without us.
Bye-bye, y'all.
Bye.